Well, it is an amazing time of year, is it not? It's time filled with a whole bunch of emotions. And I know that even in this room, there are emotions of great joy. Celebrating Christmas with firsts, maybe the first Christmas with a baby girl, like my wife and I. First Christmas engaged, first Christmas with a new grandchild. But I also know that there are some people hurting here. It is going to be your first Christmas without a loved one. I believe the Word of God speaks to all of our hurts, to all of our struggles, to all of our trials, and offers us hope. So let me pray and ask the Lord's blessing on our time as we look very briefly into His Word to search for that hope. Father, please open our eyes that we would behold wonderful things from Your law, that would instruct us to place our hope in one sure foundation and in nothing else. Jesus, You are so worthy of our praise. You transcend any emotion. You transcend any time, any space, any trial. So come now, Holy Spirit, and minister in ways that my words could never do, in ways that only Your Word could do. We pray it in Your name. Amen. So we are here. Christmas holiday season is upon us. It's a busy one. Christmas shopping all done? Anybody? Christmas shopping all finished, done? No. Amazon is very helpful for that, so we love Amazon. The Christmas season kind of begins really in November. Everybody kind of moves through Thanksgiving, and some people get really angry that Thanksgiving keeps on getting bumped just off of the shelf, and Christmas takes the full scene. I've heard it said before that Thanksgiving is really like John the Baptist. It's just the forerunner for something greater to come. I think ultimately our love for Christmas and our love for this time of year and the joy that Christmas brings is what gets us so excited over the season and over the day, over the special time with family and friends. And so that's why I think it just keeps on getting pushed back a little bit. Pretty soon it'll be a happy 4th of July and Merry Christmas. You know, that's the way it's going to end up becoming, because we just love this time of year. We love this season. And there's nothing wrong with loving the season, but there is something that is instructive about this season that happens right after it's all done. When the presents are gone, when the decorations are in the attic, when the kids are back in school, some of us go through kind of Christmas blues. Have you ever experienced that? You kind of look and you go, is that it? Did it just happen? Did I miss something? And it doesn't just happen at Christmas. If we're honest, that happens a lot in our lifetime. When we place our hope and our expectation in something, hoping that it will bring us satisfaction, and it might bring us a little bit, but it doesn't satisfy ultimately, and therefore we walk away kind of going, this is not what I thought it was going to be. That's what happens anytime you have unbridled expectations that slam into reality. Whenever you have unbridled expectations that just slam into reality, you realize, I put my hope, I put my confidence, I put my desire and my trust into something that was never meant to fully satisfy. If you have your Bibles, would you please take them and turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. Paul has some words for us this morning about where to place our hope, our trust, our confidence. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink, or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day. Things which are a mere shadow of what is to come. But the substance belongs to who? Christ. I love the imagery that Paul uses here. Shadows and substance. Shadows and substance. And it totally makes sense. I love my wife, and I love being able to come home every day after work and saying hi to her and to my little baby girl. I love being able to see them. And so anytime I get a chance to see them, my heart is very happy. My soul smiles. So if I saw them coming and I just saw their shadow, if I saw my wife's shadow rounding a corner, I would be very excited that she's about to be here and I'm about to be able to see her and talk to her. It's obvious that shadows point to something that we are looking forward to, but I would be a fool if she rounds the corner after seeing her shadow and then seeing her face to face. I would be a fool to stare at the shadow, look at the shadow, talk to the shadow, and as she's looking at me saying, Patrick, I'm up here. I'm just staring down going, oh, I love you. Shadows don't hug you. Shadows can't kiss you. Shadows can't talk back to you. And I would be a fool to look at that shadow and say, you know what? I don't want you. I want the shadow that's pointing to you being here. That's what Paul is saying here. Paul says we would be fools to cling to shadows when the substance is what matters. And the substance is Christ. We do this quite often in all our life. The way that we stare at shadows that God has given for us to point us back to Him. But we don't walk that road and we just stare. We just stare at the shadow. It's like a little kid in a grocery store when they lose mom. They lose mommy, they're scared to death. Where did mommy go? They were busy looking at all the chocolate cereals that they're not allowed to eat. And then mom's gone. Uh-oh, can't find her. And as they're running through the aisles trying to find her, they see her shadow and hear her voice and they realize, okay, she's around the corner. But they follow through going and say, up, please. I want to be with you. Shadows do not bring ultimate comfort. Now, please hear me as we go through this message. This isn't going to be a message that says don't enjoy shadows. We're going to talk about some shadows. Oh, enjoy shadows. Enjoy them. But if you find yourself often struggling with peace, if you find yourself often struggling with comfort, can I encourage you this morning that maybe you're clinging to shadows a little too tightly and not allowing those shadows to point you to Christ? What do I mean by all this? Well, let me give you a couple shadows that you know of that are clear in Scripture that are supposed to point us to Christ. First shadow, nature. Nature, we look around us and we ooh and ah at everything that we see. It's amazing, right? You go to Yellowstone, you go to Yosemite, you go to the Sequoias, you go to the Grand Canyon, and you're blown away. And that's what it's supposed to do for us. Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glories of God. The earth is proclaiming His handiwork. We are supposed to be blown away by what God has made. But if we stare at that shadow and not run to the substance of Christ who made everything we see, by Him, through Him, to Him are all things. He is the substance. And if we just stare at the shadow, we will become like the people in Romans 1 who start to worship the creation rather than the Creator. They stop at shadows. Non-believers love shadows. Satan loves shadows because if he can get you to stare at a shadow, then he will get you to stop looking at Jesus. And if he gets your eyes off of Jesus, he's won. So nature is a great shadow. It's great. Love playing baseball. Love a beautiful spring day. Love just sitting out in the sun. But do you stop and you realize, wait, this is a gift of God that is a shadow pointing me to how amazing God Himself is. Another shadow that, personally, one of my favorite shadows, marriage, the shadow of marriage. Get this. This is amazing. If marriage is so unbelievably awesome, and it is, okay? Amen to that? It is unbelievably amazing. If marriage is that amazing and it's only a shadow, then how amazing must the substance be? It must be unbelievable. Marriage is not an end. For how awesome as marriage is a means to an end. It's a shadow to point us to Christ. Ephesians chapter 5 tells us this very clearly. Marriage is about the gospel. This is why I think so many marriages fail. People get married not centered around the gospel, not desiring to proclaim the gospel in their relationship. They get married for the joy of the shadow. They get married, and at the altar, they're basically saying, hey, I'm glad I found somebody who can meet my needs. And the moment that they stop meeting their needs, they say, what are you doing here? But if we realized that marriage is simply a shadow that points us to Christ, then I can love my wife because the substance loves me. Then I can love my kids and point them to Christ because Jesus loves me. Family, kids, friends, it's all shadows that point us to a greater substance. There are so many other shadows in Scripture, so many Old Testament shadows, the shadow of the Old Covenant priesthood, the shadow of the Passover sacrifices, the Sabbath, the tabernacle, the temple, circumcision, dietary laws, feast days, etc. But as we come to this time of Christmas, let me specifically give you some shadows that can help point you to Christ. Some silly ones. We'll talk about some silly ones. And then we'll talk about some serious ones. Let's look at shadows that can point us to Christ during this season. First, the shadow of Christmas lights. Told you these are silly. Lights. It seems so backwards sometimes. We take lights from the inside of a house. Let's throw these on the outside. Then we'll go cut down a tree from the outside of the house. Let's throw it up on the inside. Kind of backwards. Lights aren't prescribed in Scripture, but we can use them as shadows. What shadows could they be used to point us to? Well, John 8, verse 12, you know it. I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not stumble in the darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus is the light of the world. Candy Cane Lane is an amazing place to go. Have you been there? You go up and down, just oohing and aahing at everything, staring, just blown away. Oh, man. If that's what little tiny bits of electricity can do to our hearts, let lights point us to the substance of Christ to realize he is the light of the world. He is more brilliant, more majestic than we could possibly imagine. And he can light up our dark world even when we don't think he can. What about a tree? A tree is a shadow. It can be. A tree can be a reminder. It's an evergreen tree. It's a reminder of life. John chapter 11, verse 25 through 26. Again, you know it. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. So you can stare at that tree that you killed, by the way. You can stare at that tree and you can remember Jesus came to give life and life abundantly. Even in the midst of places where we shouldn't be able to grow, we flourish because of Jesus being our sustenance. He's come, John 10:10, to give life, and life what? Abundantly. So as you stare at your poor little tree that's dying now, remember that if you place your trust in Christ, though you die, you will never die. That is our hope. That is our hope. You can also remember, as it is dying, as the little leaves are falling off and little pine needles on the ground and everything's turning brown, remember John 12, verses 24 through 25, unless something dies, you cannot have life. Unless something dies, unless a seed goes into the ground and dies, it cannot bear fruit. So too, unless someone dies, you and I will not be able to have life. Just some shadows. The easiest shadow, I think, of all at Christmas time is the shadow of gifts. We give gifts to one another, and though it's the easiest shadow to point us to the gift of Christ, I think it's the one that Satan loves to cling on to the most. All the little kids just stare at the presents and don't care about anything else. And we forget, what is the picture here? Yes, it's a reminder of the Magi. It's a reminder of the wise men that came giving their gifts. But it's a bigger reminder of the gift that God gave us through his son. And all of the ins and outs of gift giving come to bear on the substance of Christ. When somebody gives you a gift, you don't pay them back. You don't say, thank you very much. I know how much that costs. Here you go. Merry Christmas. Don't do that. It's a gift. The wages of our sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. When we give gifts, can I just plead with you on Christmas morning to stop and to quiet your soul before you give gifts and thank the Lord for the greatest gift of all, that God sent his son to live a perfect life, to crush him on the cross in our place, so that we could take his perfect life as he takes our sinful life, does away with it, and we can live in newness of life. Gift giving. But as we stare at all these shadows, that we look at so many shadows that come to bear in our lives. We look at family. Family is a shadow. It's a shadow of the adoption that we have as sons and daughters of the Most High God. We are his sons and daughters. We are heirs to his inheritance. Our family is a shadow to point us to the love that God has for us as Father. Our friends, food is a shadow. Sleep is a shadow. Reminds us that we are dependent on God, that we find our rest in him. Everything in life can point us to Christ. But if we don't understand ultimately how beautiful Christ is, then we're going to keep wandering away from him as the substance. We're going to keep looking to other things that shine a little bit brighter, that look a little bit more glamorous. We're going to go to other things that we think are cooler, neater. If Jesus isn't as brilliant as he is proclaimed to be in Scripture, in our minds, in our hearts, we will never look to Jesus Christ as our treasure, as our substance beyond anything we could possibly imagine to satisfy our souls if we don't understand what he's satisfying. If we go out in our daily life and we're trying to get a job to satisfy, to make money, to run the rat race, to do that whole thing, we're going to look and say, well, Jesus doesn't satisfy. That's why people have made the heresy of the prosperity gospel. Well, we'll tailor a Jesus that'll satisfy your carnal desires, and then you'll come to Jesus. That's not why Jesus died. That's not why Jesus came. That's not why Jesus died. And so if you struggle to stare at Christ as the substance and the treasure beyond anything you could possibly imagine, maybe it's because you don't understand what he came to do. You don't understand what he came to satisfy in your soul. Have you ever noticed there are Christmas carols that are hysterical and fun and just great melodies, and they're all in major keys. And then there are some, we even sang a couple today, that are like funeral dirges. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lowly exile here until the Son of God appears. Second verse, O come, thou rod of Jesse, free thine own from Satan's tyranny, from depths of hell thy people save, and give them victory over the grave. That is why Jesus came. And if we place our trust and hope in anything else, if we place our hope into shadows, we'll begin to be let down very quickly. Oh, that this Christmas season, my prayer is that we would be able to say with the psalmist, Psalm 16:2, I say to the Lord, you alone are my Lord, and I have no good besides you. I have no good. I just want you. I want you. Psalm 16:11, you will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. How much fuller can you get than fullness of joy? That's it. In the presence of Christ is fullness of joy. In his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 73, 25, whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. Oh, that I would be able to say that. I have no one but you, and I desire no one but you. Sometimes we get to the place in life where God takes things away from us and we say the first part, okay, I got nothing but you, God. But oh, that we'd be able to say, and I need or want nothing but you. Habakkuk 7, or 3 verses 17 through 19. Though the fig tree should not blossom, and though there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold and there be no cattle in the stalls, though I have nothing, yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation, for God alone is my strength. Brothers and sisters, are you here this morning clinging to Jesus Christ as substance? Or are you clinging to the gifts that he gives? And they are good gifts. He is the giver of all good gifts. James 1 tells us that. But are you clinging to his gifts instead of allowing the gifts to point you to the giver and to praise the giver? May God and God alone take first place in our lives, being our blessed treasure beyond anything we could possibly imagine. Oh, and shadow. Christmas is a shadow. The first advent of Christ is a shadow. It's a shadow of his second coming. He will come to rule and to reign. He will come to bring peace on earth. He will come to wipe away every tear. He will come to heal every hurt. Jesus is on his way. I want to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Maybe you're here this morning and you have been staring at shadows and have been let down and you're questioning God's goodness. I want to ask this morning, would you humbly run to Christ and say, to live is Christ and to die is gain, to lose everything that I have in this life, it's hitting the jackpot if I get Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning and you have never placed your trust in Jesus Christ. You have never surrendered your life to him. You've never repented of your sins and turned to him alone as the way, the truth, the life. Maybe you know, I'm a sinner, but you're still clinging on to certain sins and you are not turning. Maybe you think Jesus is cool, but I'm fine living my life with just a little bit of Jesus. This morning, all can be well for you if you place your trust in Jesus. Turn from your sins. Turn to him as treasure and chase him as the greatest substance of your life. Do that today. All is well for all who have placed their trust in Christ, because all was not well one dark night over 2,000 years ago when God crushed his son in our place. But all is well because you have the righteousness of Christ. Father, I pray for those in this room that are not saved, that John 3 tells us the wrath of God still abides on them at this moment. I pray that they would see the shadows that they cling to, the hope that they try to find in the things that this world has to offer, and even the good gifts that you have given are fleeting, are temporary, but you are eternal. Father, I pray that we would place our hope and our trust in the one foundation that is sure, that is forever, that is eternal, that is unchanging. Our friends, our family might change, but you stay the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, Father, I pray for those in this room that have yet to place their trust in you alone as Savior, as Master, as Lord, to repent and turn from their sins and turn to you for everlasting life, that today would be the day of salvation, that this Christmas would be a Christmas where they would celebrate the coming of their Savior to free them from the bondage of sin, and that you, by your grace, would usher into your kingdom this morning sons and daughters who were children of wrath, but now have been brought in forever to eternal life. And Father, for those who believe, for those who have eternal life and rest in the finished work of Christ on the cross, Father, I pray that this day we would resolve in our heart to strive not after shadows, but after substance. We would love the shadows. We would go to the shadows. We would enjoy the shadows, but we would allow the shadows to point us to Jesus, our greatest treasure and joy. And in him and him alone, our foundation is laid. On Christ, the solid rock we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. In Jesus' name, amen.